Thank you. day to be with the family together. Give you the praise. Thank you for loving us as such a family. That you brought us a whole new feeling of your glory and understanding of you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness all week long. It's so good for us. God, we cannot thank you enough. Here we are at another moment where your people gather together to hear from you, to worship you, God, to experience your glory in a veiled way, God. We thank you for all that you've done for us again. We pray that you have invaded this moment that we live off of you in a way that we belong to you. So let our service and our worship be pleasing in your sight. Lord, save somebody through what is said. Cause one that's going down the wrong road to make a U-turn and offer a new start. Put it in your hand. Lord, we ask you to break strongholds. Give us anointing that will carry your word to the lost and the needy. Make us mindful in our hearts, God, of all that you would have us to do, and then give us the strength to do. Just be with us. Thank you, Sarah, share your word. Keep us all humble. Let us know, God. We're all trying to learn more and to grow more. May that be our purpose this morning. In Jesus' name, oh God, don't forget about the sick. Lord, we pray that may be sick among us. We know there are some that are ill, some that are homebound. Lord, maybe some that came out ill. We just pray for your touch, even within these walls, upon their bodies, God. Let's those that have future medical issues that they're going to maybe have surgery or other kinds of treatments. Let's those children, God, that if I have to make that person back. A healthy person where they can worship. Thank you for this wonderful hour. Young children came in and blessed us with their effort to do more. Thank you for all. We pray in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Right before we get started, just want to make a couple quick things for our adults. But we haven't really did much for Black History Month, but God gave us a weightier matter to deal with His glory. So we're going to do that this month. But for all adults, we were passing out before you got here. We're out of them now, but if you want one, we'll have you sign up, and we'll bring you one next week. For each household, we'll provide this book here called Beyond Roots, in Search of Blacks in the Bible, by William Dwight McKissick, and also forwarded by Anthony Evans, and it's a really good book that shows you a lot of people in the Bible, amen, that would have been, if they would have lived in Jim Crow time, there's a lot of people in the Bible that would have been sitting on the back of the bus. And I want you to know who they are. Amen. Because they had part of their heritage. Amen. They had people with black skin in their hair. People that you would have never probably thought of. So we got that. And also, so if you didn't get one today, sign up for that one maybe next week. And also for our children, we had a coloring book for our children that we passed out to our children. Who done such a great job this morning on our devotion? The ABCs of Black History coloring book. And I think for every alphabet, they gave a person that's responsible for some part of Black History. So, amen. We're doing that. We do other things to reach that. We want everybody to be filled in. Amen. We realize, amen, that that person, you will be so poisoned with self-hatred that you will do harm to other black people. Y'all know, y'all heard about that Tyree Nichols thing. Amen. When those police officers decide to be blue rather than black. And we him black and blue. Yeah. Without mercy, viciously. It's because sometimes your hatred of your own people. You got to realize how valuable we are. Amen. All I want from police, from whether black or blue, whatever color they are, just treat me as good. Treat the innocent before they are established. Treat them as good. Treat the black innocent people as good as you treat the guilty white people. That's all I want. Amen. Now, y'all know when Louis Dillon killed up the 9 black people in Charlotte, amen. Amen. They arrested him. He didn't get kicked. He wasn't brutalized. Matter of fact, they stopped on the way to jail to make sure if he was hungry, he could get a hamburger. All I'm asking, they treat me as good as that. Let's get into the word. I did want to share that, amen, because I haven't addressed it, and I have to address that. Amen. Because we're a black congregation. And sometimes we need to be cathartic and get where we need to be. Amen. We need to know how God thinks of us, even with our speed. Because once you read, and I'm hoping as I preach along with you, when we go to black character in the Bible, you'll know that God uses all of us. We are all precious in His sight. Red, yellow, black, or white. We are all children of God. And we all mean something to Him. Let's get to the scripture. 2 Corinthians. We got about 3 scriptures. I think I'm just going to read the first one. We'll touch on the second two. All right. If you can, stand in honor of the weightiness of God's glory. All right. Here we go. Verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remained unlifted, because it is removed in Christ.
All right.
But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Mm-hmm. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. Yes. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Yes.
But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pray that the Spirit would help us share this word with you. Now, don't have notes this morning. That's kept. Stay with me. I'm going to have a couple of points. I try to get notes up. Sometimes I don't, because I don't want you to think of, I don't want worship to be too much of a school like atmosphere. So we switch up from time to time. All right, here we go. I want to talk about this morning, and of course, we're still under that same series topic, created for more. I want you to know we were created for more. We're created for more. And that more that we are created for is the glory of God. And I don't know about you, but the more I learn about the glory of God, I want to say, like I said when I was a younger person, amen, when I was a teenager or younger than teenage, and you wanted some more food, I want some more. When it comes to God, I want some more. Amen. I hope there's somebody in here that when it comes to understanding, knowing more, loving Him more, knowing more about Him, you will say, because of this series, seen a little dropper. If you've seen a little dropper that sometimes you have for your medicine. When you just get, you know, going for have a certain amount of drops, sometimes people use for their eyes or whatever. Yep. And you get that one little drop.
Yep.
That's all you put in, you know, one or two drops. Sometimes these people might use it for recipe. They might be a little larger. But the task of trying to understand the glory of God is like having a dropper. In trying, amen, to get the ocean in a drop. It's not enough room. Amen. That's what I've been trying to do in these 3, and I'm going to do one more week, maybe more, but I think only 4 weeks it is. But that's how hard this task is. To help you to understand, there's no way you can understand in these 3 or 4 weeks, amen, really the glorious and the glory of God, because it's like putting an ocean in that dropper. And not only that ocean, but it's like putting all of the liquid in the whole universe in a dropper. Because that's how big, how weighty the glory of God is. If I can get you to understand it. Now, let me say a few things. The reason why that glory of God is so important. Don't you know when God made us, when he created us, he hardwired us for his glory?
Yeah.
We were created for his glory.
Sure.
Amen. It's like your car that was created, amen, to run on gasoline. Mm-hmm. Or if you got an EV on being charged for electricity.
Right.
Amen. Something we were created for, and without that thing, we can't be who we were created to be. We as people were created, most of all, to experience glory. I don't know why, that's why we get so excited, even here on earth, when we see amazing things. It don't have to be about God, but whenever we see amazing things, amazing person, rendition of a song, or when we look at the mountain, pizza, the great majestic mountains. When we look over the ocean and we see like an unending ocean. Sometimes when I'm struggling or worried or confused, amen. If you can look up at the stars and see the stars of the night and realize how many stars there are and how great they are, and you know and realize once I realize that I know the God that put the stars in the sky. That's where there's a problem. I'm worried. I know you can handle it. If you can put the stars in the sky, you can handle any problem in my life. But that's this glory. You see it in athletics. Sometimes do something amazing. Or sometimes even in little children that do amazing things that we don't expect them to do. And I want to tell you, don't miss glory. Because sometimes glory shows up in places that you don't expect it. I remember in the Old Testament, there's a young girl that was a captive. She was an Israelite. She was a captive. And she was working in Naaman's household. All she was just amazing. She was a little servant girl in Naaman's household. If you would have looked over her, if you came over to Naaman's house, because Naaman was great, everybody knew Naaman. He was a great soldier. He had great renown. He was known for his courage and for his bravery. But there was a little young lady in the house who nobody even knew. But she told Naaman's wife, listen here, man, I see Naaman had this problem with leprosy. I know a prophet in Israel. I'm talking about glory. See, sometimes glory comes in packages. Glory can meet you at the Walmart. Glory comes in packages and meet you at the nursery school. Sometimes glory that lives next to you. You never know that person that God is going to do something amazing in your life. Amen. So I always look for God to work in big ways. Sometimes God works in small ways. A lot of times for me, amen, if you make a driving mistake and you know you should have been hit, but glory shows.
that God do for you.
Yeah.
Watch out. Thank Him for those little things. Because sometimes God don't get praise for the little things.
All
right. We just praise God for the big things. But we're made for the glory. God created this glorious world to point us to His glory.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the Word of God. That's why, man, when I look at it in the mountains, vacation in the mountains, in the beach, wherever it is, just sitting there and realizing, wow. I was on a cruise one time. I looked off the cruise ship, and I couldn't see no land nowhere around me. And I thought about, that's not my grace God got. He got so much grace, you can't see the end of it sometimes.
Yeah.
And that grace carries you from place to place. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. With His grace, it won't let you sit. It'll hold you up.
Yeah.
Able you to withstand and ride on the top of your problems and your trials and your heartaches and your difficulties.
Yeah.
You need to look around and all over, my brothers and sisters. We can't see in our world the glory of our God. It's everywhere. But only God's glory can satisfy the glory hunger in our hearts. Because we're made for food.
Yeah.
It's like we're made for food. You're hungry for food.
Yeah.
But we're made for God's glory. So food will be with our physical appetite. But there's an appetite. An appetite for glory that can only be met by the glorious God that we serve. Sometimes we can snack on the little glory that the world passed by. This is the amazing stuff that the world. They little snacks. But snacks don't satisfy.
Right.
They just keep you for a little bit and then they you look at that beautiful house they got. Wow, this is a great house. Put the down payment for it, maybe your payment, and you're really happy about it. But if you finally got there, you've been renting, now you can own a house, or even if you're renting, you finally got your nice place to stay. This is the first time that your person you stay by you, and you're so happy, but soon that glory is going to wear off.
Yes,
it will. Because there it is. The only true glory that fills a person up. It's God's glory. We are made to experience His glory. So today, the topic is how God's glory transforms our story. How God's glory transforms our story. When you have an encounter with God's glory, or the glory of our Lord, it transforms your story. Maybe your story was headed in the wrong direction, but also, then you come into contact with the glory of the Lord, and He changes your story. You thought you wasn't going to have a happy ending, but then you ran into Him. Seemed like your story was all messed up. You know, it's sort of like a rom-com, romantic comedy. They always do the same thing in romantic comedy. You know, the couple meet, kind of like each other. Start liking each other a little bit more, then you know, they were really hiding. And all of a sudden, something happened. You know, somebody say something, this one did something, or the parents interfere, or something that break them up, and you think, oh, the story's over.
Right.
But the thing about it, always at the end of the romantic comedy, they find some way.
Yeah.
They come back to each other. Well, what you have witnesses. And that's where it is with God's glory. In the garden, the romance between us and God, that God that loved us so much, was interrupted. Amen. And then you see mankind going all kinds of crazy ways, being a sinful man. that he left in the garden. The God that humanity left in the garden come running out.
Yeah.
With that reckless love, they come running after, amen, the one that was messed up in the garden. You got the romance in the garden, God is still there. And through his saving grace, love will come back together. We were made for his glory. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm glad to see you there, Clark. Clark said he's going to sit in that seat every time you come to church. I see him sitting there. And I see the change in his life. And I don't want to miss the small glories. Sometimes you don't want to miss when somebody making progress and growing and trying to get more knowledge. You want to say, hey, hang on in there, but that's a small. I can see him everywhere. He's not finished with you yet.
Come on.
Hang on in there. Glory, glory. When you experience his glory, which somehow wrote you off. I'm about to have a witness in here. Nobody ain't going to pray with me. But when folks wrote you off, say, you're not going to amount to anything, you're never going to do anything. Oh, wait a minute, because God's glory can transform your whole story. Because when his glory comes in, your past can't last.
Amen.
This is the mighty God that we serve. We have that hunger. Now listen to me. This is what happened. Let me get to the text. This is what happened in this text. You remember when Moses went up on a mountain to get the law from God, spent some time with God. God even let his glory pass by Moses. And then Moses, when he went in the tent to visit God, when he went in the tent, a certain time, he experienced a veil. He didn't experience the full glory because he couldn't have the full glory. But the little glory that he experienced, when Moses came back to the people, Moses was shining. What's that about? He came back, his face was shining, because he had been in the glory, he had experienced the glory of God, and the radiant light was still upon Moses.
Yeah.
He walked out, and he was all lit up.
Yeah.
That might be a lesson. That might be a lesson in that book.
Right.
If you'll spend a little time with God,
yeah.
Amen. When people know when you're spending time with God, because when you come out, you look, there's a lot of mind. In order to get that little light to shine, you got to spend some time with the Lord. Amen. It just ain't going to shine automatically. But when you get together with God, when you spend that time with God in prayer, in his word, in a fellowship and worship and discipleship and service, and you're interacting with God, you will see that light begin to shine brighter and brighter. And as Moses spent time with God, he came up with God, he had his light was shining. The problem is, he put on the veil to hide his face, because the shine wouldn't last. It shined bright and every day it went down. And Moses didn't want to let the people know, or did not want to let the people know that the glow had faded. I was surprised, and he wanted to see it back that up. Still that shine. That was the glory of the old covenant in the Old Testament. In these verses, you can read the whole third chapter. And maybe, read the whole third chapter. And in these verses, you're going to find out that was the Old Testament way. And the glory fades. Come out, shine, didn't shine, fades. That's why just Sunday morning is not enough.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right. Because by Sunday evening, fading will start.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. By Tuesday, you ain't got no shine. need to get the shine back. Amen. Yeah. You need to get in the Word personally. Personally, you need to spend time in the Word for yourself daily. You need to spend time in prayer daily. And serve God however you do it daily, because that's where the shine comes from, faith, if you don't. This is in the New Testament. In the New Testament. Paul says, for the believer. This ain't believers. Because he said, now you know the way it was in the Old Testament. On the Old Covenant, some things that the Old Covenant people couldn't see. They couldn't see the glory of God like we experience it today. Because their eyes were veiled. Mm-hmm. We, as a believer, we can see more of the glory of God. I'm going to get to that in just a second. Why do we see more of the glory of God as New Testament believers rather than Old Testament believers? But he said, now, in this new covenant, rather than you the faith that now, don't you cover up. Because under the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit comes into your life, sets you free, and then you move from glory to glory to glory. Under the New Testament, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, amen, the glory should be increasing, increasing. You don't want to veil that because you want folks to see it.
Yeah.
Now listen to me. This is not a one day thing. It's going to take two things. Number one, to take God, because you can't do it on your own. It's not about how good you are, your good works, your effort. You're going to need God. It's God's Spirit that produces this. This is the fruit of the Spirit. When people see the fruit of the Spirit, you remember when we studied about the fruit of the Spirit?
Right.
So you got fruit, more fruit, much fruit. That's growth. That's from glory to glory to glory. Because it's the fruit of the Spirit. Peace, kindness, love, long-suffering. All the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Self-control. When people eat, you get more and more fruit. You get more and more fruit. That's the glory. You don't want to bear that. You want the folk around you to see that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sometimes, you know, I feel, yeah, you got fault. Y'all got fault. But we are trying to learn and to grow. See, sometimes in Christian life, it takes time. It takes God, it takes two things. It takes God,
yes,
and it takes time. Don't think when you've been a Christian 2 days, you automatically will be like Christ in every aspect of your life. Don't even think when you've been there 2 years. Amen. 10 years. Listen, I've been a Christian since I think I was 16, going on 17 right in there. I'm not sure. But, yeah, it seemed like I was 16, and about a couple weeks after I come to Christ, I was 17. But I've been, and that's a long time. I've been preaching for almost 46 years. Pastor for 39 years. But I still got flaws and faults. Because it's a time thing. Don't you think because I say that I don't have flaws and faults. But I'm learning and growing.
Yeah.
That's what I want people to see. I'm learning. I got it. Now it's very rare. Yeah. And when I do curse, I use Bible words. I don't curse no other word or Bible words. It's enough curse in the Bible for me to make David express my emotion. What I'm saying? So it's a growth process. It's moving from glory to glory. And you can only do it with his spirit. Yes. It's not you, it's his spirit working in you. Yes. Okay. I'm gonna give you some keys. I'm just about. Let's read this next verse. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, we can leave right now. All right, look at verse Philippians 2:13. For it is who? Who is at what? In you. It's God who is at work in you. And I'm going to tell you, he's doing a great work. It's God that's doing a work. It's not you. It's not your own effort. It's not your own strength. It's God's Holy Spirit is doing a work in you. This word does two things. You see it? Right. It says, number one thing it does, both to will. It says, first thing it do is to will. Yeah. When I think of to will, I mean, he gives you the want to. Right. Right. The first thing God's Spirit does in your life, he makes you want to do right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. He makes you want to do right. But then after he gives you a want to, and then he says, it's both to will and to work. So he gives you the will, the want to. And then he gives you the work, which is the ability you can do. So God gives you both the want to and the can do. You want to be better. And he says, okay, if you want to be better, I can give you power. If you want to break through, I can give you power to break through.
Yeah.
If you want to bring the stronghold down, I can give you the power to bring the stronghold down. If you want to be better than any atmosphere of your life, I can give you the power to do it.
Yeah.
And this is what happens, y'all. This is what happens when the Holy Spirit moves into your life. Moves into your story. Comes into your story. Whatever your story might be. And all of a sudden, unveiled, it says, we see the glory of the Lord like the infinite mirror. Wow. Man. Wow. Man, God is awesome. And you see something about Jesus or something about a person in the scripture that Jesus is working through, and you say, man, I want to be like, I want to pray like Nehemiah. I want to be a leader like Nehemiah. I want to have courage like Daniel, or Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego. You see somebody, you see a picture of what God can do in a person's life. You say, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. I want to love like John. As you see Christ walking through the pain of Scripture, yeah. I want to be like Peter. If he comes, I want to have no faith to step out of that boat and walk on. I want to be like that.
Yeah.
When he talks about husbands and wives or parents and children or whatever aspect of life they face, you say, yeah, I want to be like that. You leave church. You ever left church on Sunday morning? You heard the word of God about some character or about Jesus and said, or what God is doing, and you said, while you were sitting there, you say, oh, yeah, and you heard what God, kind of person that was that God had created in any individual in the Bible, whether it was David or where it was, and you left and you know what God can do. You said, God, this is what kind of person I want to be. Can you help me to be that kind of person? And you were sincere, if I'll get it right there. Yes. Heart burning to be that person, to be more like Christ, to please Christ, to please God, because you see what he done for you. Great to want to.
Yeah.
But not only did you need to want to, because the want to sometimes will lead you So not only do we need to want to, but we need the can. His Spirit's empowerment. Now this is the point. This is the important point. Then this is the important point. This is the real key to the Christian life. And this will be. This will be. I'm making sure as if I was discipling you one on one. The thing that helps me to move from want to can do is what part of me do I feed? Somebody said, and I heard it said by certain people like this, it's like having two dogs in. Two dogs fighting for control. He said, well, how do you determine which dog wins? It's usually the one that you feed the most. If you want to be spiritual and be the person that God wants you to be, you got to feed the Spirit. Find books that you're going to read that feed the Spirit. Show that you're going to watch that feed the Spirit. People to hang around that feed your spirit.
Yeah.
Ideals that feed your spirit. That's why we come together at church, because we're trying to feed each other's spirit. Make the Spirit strong. Because if you're sown to the Spirit, you'll have everlasting life. That don't mean you will already have everlasting life, but it means that the life, everlasting life means that's kind of Jesus kind of life. You began to become and look like him and walk like him. And then your life become more look like him. In other words, you'll go from glory to glory to glory. Because you're feeding the Spirit. And starve the flesh. Stop feeding things that destroy your life. I know that sometimes hard. It's hard. It's hard for me. It's hard for me. It's hard for me. It's hard for me. When God said, you need letting the sugar go. But you've been stagnant for 60 years. You didn't make me let the sugar go. But sugar ain't done nothing for black people since they've been in the cane field. It's been destroying us ever since we worked in the cane field as slaves. It's all right, take a little bit. But you got to say, hey, that makes it, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute, wait a minute. I've had 6 months. Wait a minute. Take a little bit. Because you realize you got an assignment from God.
Yeah,
you realize you got a wife, a daughter, and an assignment. Passing the church. You can't do nothing if your body stops cooperating. You can't be the husband, you can't be the father, you can't be the pastor if your body begins to shut down. So the word of God says to God, I need you to help me with this. Well, sometimes the enemy. We'll blame the devil. Oh, when the disease hit him, it's the devil. No, it ain't the devil. It's the blueberry. It's the chocolate cake. It's the pecan pie.
Well.
Amen. It's all the soap. It's the sweet drink. It's the lemonade.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, man. Stay with the word. This day the word, you'll be all right.
You better than that.
I'm trying to tell them all, hey, we all, if we God's going to use us, we got to be alive, we got to be healthy.
Yeah.
Amen. Because, hey, if I'm healthy and I'm sick, amen, I'm not able to do something. I can't pass out in the house of the Lord, pass out if I can't get around. I can't preach seed that need to feed the spirit.
Uh-huh.
Stop such. There's some things I can't see. Amen. You have to find out what sets you apart.
Absolutely.
What starts the fire towards your weakness? And then, because it's just like when you're down here in the country, I mean, well, we have it too in our area. I don't know if they have it in the cities or not. But we had that burn ban.
Right.
Then you don't take no chances.
Right.
Hey, when you got a burn ban, you got to even watch where you park your car. Because if you park your car on a certain grass that's not green, it can start a fire and set off a fire.
Yeah.
So you got to be very careful. So sometimes when you realize what sets the fire in your life, you got to put a burn ban on that thing. Say, sir, I cannot go to that place. Because that's where the fire starts. And sometimes when the fire starts there, I'm not able to take care of when it's small and it get out of control and destroy my whole life. But you know what starts your fire.
Absolutely.
So Lord, you burn. Feed the spirit.
Amen.
Starve the flesh. I've been in the spirit to win every day.
Absolutely.
And I want my spirit to win battle.
Yeah.
But it's always going to be a battle.
Yeah.
Feed the spirit.
Yeah.
Be careful. Starve the flesh.
Yeah.
In every aspect of your life. You know what it is. Don't feed it. It's going to ask for food.
Right.
It's going to bother you. It's like a little baby. When that little baby's hungry, you won't know about it. Or they will do a little crying here. Little crying there, holler. You tell them, be crying. But they, when they're hungry, they got to get your attention.
Right.
And when the flesh is hungry, the flesh is going to cry out to you.
Amen.
And you know what I'm saying? The flesh crying is like you're trying to sleep and the baby's crying.
Yeah.
Right.
So you say, this is what you say. I just need to give the baby a little something. Sometimes you're trying to get some peace. So you say, I just want to drink enough to take the egg off. I don't want to drink too much,
right.
But you know, I just want to take the edge.
Yeah.
Take the edge off. And pretty soon, while you're trying to take the edge off, you find yourself stuck in the hedge.
Amen.
You fell over the hedge.
Amen.
Or you were trying to take the edge off.
Damn,
you went from the edge to the hedge.
Yes, sir. I lose one-on-one, I say, hey, you got to be careful. You know your weakness like nobody else knows.
Absolutely.
Don't feed them. Stall them. But they will cry out to be feed.
Right, it's true.
And they will say, just one more, you know, do it just one more time. Don't listen to that lie.
Amen.
Say, do it one more time, and you will be finished with it tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Do it just one more time, and you don't have to worry. It's over tomorrow. You'll never have to do it again. But you know what happens? Every time, this is what I think about it. Every time you do it, you're putting a new chain on yourself. You can't say, I do it one time, I'll be free tomorrow. Because every time you do it, it's like putting another pair of handcuffs. Until soon, you've got 1,000 pair of handcuffs.
Yeah.
And you wonder why you can't break. Or shoot say, because the enemy said one more time. Just one more time. But every time. Because you know if you do it one more time, that's another pair of handcuffs.
Yeah.
The stronghold becomes strong.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The hate becomes strong.
Yeah, yeah.
The pride becomes strong. The addiction becomes strong.
Mm-hmm.
The lust becomes strong.
Mm-hmm.
The selfishness becomes strong. Listen, let me close with this. He said, once you see the Lord, I'm in verse 18, but we were all with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Once you see the Lord being transformed, the same image from glory to glory. Because you'll see the Lord, you want to be like the Lord.
Uh-huh.
The Holy Spirit in your life, you that want to, then you can do. Now look at this last verse here. Look at this last verse. Beloved, and this is how he's talking about. The beatific vision, the vision of God that we'll see in the end, that will just completely and perfectly change, so we'll never worry about that. Beloved, now we have children of God that has not appeared as yet what we will be. Yet, we ain't what we will be yet. We know that when he appears, when we see his face, when there's no more veil, and we see God in his glory, we will be like him because we will see him. That's when it's all over. But then it goes on. Because the next line says, but until then, we will purify ourselves.
Yeah.
One day we're going to be perfect, but right now we'll get a little bit better. We're purifying. We're putting aside anything that keeps us from seeing him. Because once you see the glory of God, it's so attractive, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
You say, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
Last illustration, I know you've been a little bit. A few days ago, I was at the movies. We saw this movie, and said the name of it because you might want to see it. And I want you to say, I already know what that movie is about. You know, people lose their money for the ticket. So I want you to get in there, and after you get in, they say, oh, that must be the movie the pastor was talking about. But I was in the movies. And I'm seeing this movie about this pilot. This pilot. This pilot, in the last minute, he was put on to fly this plane because the normal pilot, there's something happened to see, there's something to make it. So they put this pilot on, he was an army pilot, a former, but he was a real good pilot. And he got on the plane and he took off. And you know, he was because of the greedy people who ran the airplane, you know, ran the company that the airplane was, they didn't give him enough gas to do what he really should do. They were trying to save gas. So when he got in a storm and had to do some things to go to places what they expected to do, gas started running short. When he worked, he was a great pilot, and he got in the plane, and he somehow, against all odds, he landed the plane.
area where there were like gangs, robbers, and just evil people. There was no law enforcement. It was just a bad area where there were drug dealers and sex trafficking and all that. And pretty soon those people heard that the plane landed and they came after him. Came after all of the captains. Yeah. And that captain of that plane did everything within his power to keep his people safe. And he did everything. They followed him, they tried to find a way to fix the plane, him and the co-pilot, and get the plane back in the air, and they did everything that they could. Pretty soon, while they were all trying to find other equipment and do other things to find a way to get the communication to work, that gang group came up. And they took all the people, all the women, children, guys, killed a couple of them before they took them. Took them to some little camp. They camped up there. They was in trouble because these guys were bad guys. They would sell women, do all kinds of things. It was just bad situations. So the captain came back and he said he had another black guy with him. Always got to have a brother. That brother can be a hero in some of them. I always be the first one to get shot. Yep. Amen. Brother had a bad past. I'm trying to talk. Brother had, brother had a bad past. They had cuffs on him in the plane. Amen. He wasn't being treated right. Amen. Because he was, he had done something bad, we see. And, but just because you got a bad past can't mean you can't be a hero in the future. And so you hung out. He and the brother hung out. But the brother was trying to save the people. Got to it. Finally got the only way to save the people. But they had a bus. They had got a bus. They got hit. And a bus that came up. And the criminals didn't know about it. And so all people getting on the bus. But then all of a sudden the bad guys started coming out. And they were afraid they were going to see the people get on the bus before the bus could take over. So the captain went out. And actually went to all the criminals, bad guys, and gave himself up. So while they were beating him, breaking his bone, kicking him, doing everything, while he was doing that, he was occupying them so all the people could get free. Got on the bus and got free. But at the last moment, they realized, wait a minute, people get on the bus. And he ran to the bus and only had, by then they had some help come along from other troops that came in. And they were shooting back and forth. And somehow along the way, he got shot. And they found out the only way they could escape was they had to get the plane back up. And it was almost impossible. But he said, I think I can do it. And with everything he had been trained to do, all of his experiences, he got the plane back up in the air. With all the but they had a shootout. He had got shot in one arm. But he still got the plane up. And he flew just enough with all of his flying skill to make it to a safe place. But it took everything he had. He was shot, bruised, battered, beaten, sacrificed for his people. Finally, they made a landing. It was a hard landing, but everybody had a good smile. Took them all off the plane. Took them all off the plane. All the soldiers that had took everybody off the plane. Everybody had gone. You saw them there sitting on that plane step. Exhausted. Wounded.
Yeah.
Beaten. Bruised. He had done it all to get his people back home safe. And I saw that picture. I saw the beauty of that picture.
Yeah.
I saw the glory of that picture. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to tell you, glory will change. And I saw that and said, Lord, that's what I want to be. I got some people I'm responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
I got a ship I'm the captain of. I want to have his church. That I do everything home.
Yes.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. It reminds me of somebody. Can you witness in his house?
Yeah, yeah.
It reminds me of somebody.
Yeah.
That they be all night long.
Come on.
It reminds me of somebody that they crowned with thorns.
Yeah, yeah.
It reminds me of somebody that they spit on and talked about it.
Yeah.
Lied on. It reminds me of somebody.
Yeah.
That they marched up Calvary's hill and fall on an old rugged cross.
Yeah.
Thank you.
personally, but to all households. We want to get you this book, so be sure to sign up for it. Sign up for it.
Father, grace, Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us now.